It's a big privilege for me to speak here today. Rabbi Center and I go way back, he might have told you, back to the time we were Bachurim in Yeshiva. And Rabbi Center at the time made a big impact on me. And I'm sure he's continuing to do that with all of you. Before I speak, I'll give you, Rabbi Center maybe said something, I don't know, probably wasn't true whatever he said. But I just want to tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up in New York, not in a religious family. I attended the Bronx High School of Science, if anyone knows what that is. And my goal in life was to make a lot of money and to compete in the Olympics. Those were my goals.
It's very hard to hear.
I'll speak loud. Yeah. And Baruch Hashem, when I was in high school, I met a Rav who steered me in a different direction, got me to Eretz Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, I've been here ever since, and I don't regret the decision at all. I was invited here to speak, in truth, Divrei Hesped. But I'd like to expand on that a little bit, because I know that Rabbi Center and I, we share a rub together. Here's a picture of David Cohen. I'm sure you've heard of him. Perhaps you've met him even. Rav Shach said he's one of the Gedolim of the next generation, which we're in there right now. And to understand the Gadol is a very, very hard thing. Because, you know, you look at me, you look at you, you look at different people. More or less, people look the same. Okay, maybe the Rav has a longer beard, a hat, he wears a long coat. But to really understand the Gadol, you have to go very, very deep and understand some very, very deep things. And really, the only way to do it is to really look at their life and analyze it and try to, like you analyze a sukkah. You learn a Gemara, you see Rashi, you see Tosus, you see the Rashba. And then the whole picture of the sugya starts to make itself seen. With the Gadol, it's really the same thing. And Hashem gives a special siyata to Shemaya, as it were, in the lifetime of the Gadol, is that you can't really grasp the Gadol completely. Because then, if people really grasped how great the Gadol really is, he wouldn't have a life. You know, I remember once I had to speak to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and I was invited to be 29 in the line of people waiting for him to leave the Beis Medrash, you know, as he's walking out. So, of course, everybody's like stampeding and crushing, you know. Okay, but most Gedolim have a life, and they have tranquility, because people just don't understand how great they really are. I personally, I'm zochet to have a relationship with many Gedolim, and Art School put this safer out about my relationship. I know Rav Moshe Sternbach, I try to speak to him every week, and Rav Moshe Sternbach is not somebody from this world. His understanding of Torah, his understanding of Yerushalayim, of serving Hashem. So when a Gadol passes away, we have an opportunity that to analyze his life as a whole and try to understand a little bit what he was really all about. Now, Rav David Feinstein, he had a big disadvantage. In the fact that his father was a Gadol. When somebody grows up, their father being a Gadol, it's very hard not to fall in their shadow. Just to be shadowed by them and say, I'm the son of an Adam Gadol, and not to work hard. But Rav David was able to overcome that. Rav David had the whole Torah on his fingertips. Clear, clarity. And how do I know this? One of my closest friends was Chavrusas with Rav David for 20 years, and he published his sefer, V'dibar Tabam. It's a collection of the Chuas and Psokim from Rav David Feinstein. And he told me every single sugya they learned, it was all clear. Everything was on their fingertips. Everything was on his fingertips. Right? And Lamaisa, having the whole Torah on your fingertips doesn't make you a Gadol, though. It could be your computer. You know, I bought recently, when I was a Bachur, I used to buy a lot of Sfarim. Now, more, I have this key with 25,000 Sfarim on it. So, knowing a lot of information doesn't make a person a Gadol. Right? A Gadol is that the information is not just in your head, but it's in your heart, and it's in your whole personality. Right? Your whole personality. Right? A real Gadol, when you see him, you see the Torah itself. Right? And Chazal say this lashon, when you see somebody whose personality reflects his Gadol and Torah, that's real Gadol, right? And that's what Rav David was. Rav David was the Tachlis HaPashtus. Yeah? Complete simplicity. In fact, the first time I met him, I walked into the Beis Medrash in MTJ. I don't know if you've any been there in the Lower East Side. It's a little bit Chinatown now. Very simple, you know, area over there. It doesn't look like a major Jewish place anymore as it once did. But I walked in. I didn't even know that he was Rosh Yeshiva. He was wearing a short jacket, a little beard, you know, sitting in the side there, you know, davening. He didn't have any airs about him at all. And again, this is the Nekuda. The Nekuda is, a Gadol is somebody who lives what he learns. It becomes his whole personality, his whole essence. I always say this, and perhaps, you know, when the Corona ends, your Ashir will help you with that. I always say, if you want to know what a Nava is, yeah? If you want to know what a Nava is, it's a different Nusa, I say. There are two types of people in the world. There are people who've met Rav Asher Ely, and people who haven't met Rav Asher Ely. Has anyone here ever met Rav Asher Ely? Anybody? Yeah? Right? The truth is, he's right across the street. Not so hard to get to him. But when you meet Rav Asher Ery Ely, you don't really understand. Whoever has not met Rav Asher Ely, you could learn Orchot Tzadikim for a year. You could learn it over and over. You can learn every single Gemara, Rishon, Achron, Medrash about a Nava. You will not understand what a Nava is until you met Rav Asher Ely. Because Rav Asher Ely has taken all the Torah of Chazal about a Nava, and he's put it into his personality. Right? I once was walking with Rav Asher down the street here, down Shmuel HaNavi, and I was speaking to him, and I was really hacking him, I have to tell you. I wanted him to come speak somewhere, and I was hacking him, and like, he was on his way to give shir, he has 1,000 people in shir. He was on his way to give shir, and he said, he kept apologizing, he apologized. Here, I was hacking him, and he was apologizing. It right? Should really be the other way around, right? But that's a true gadol. A true gadol is somebody who's incorporated his Torah, like Chazal say, kama noyim, inish liwa geshmeitza. His whole personality reflects the Torah that he learned. It's not just in his head, but it's in his heart, and it's in his whole being. Yeah? And Rav David Feinstein, look at Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was a matana atzuma to America, and Rav David was a hemshech of that matana. Right? If it wasn't for Moshe, who knows what America would look like, right? Rav Moshe had the kelim, he had the chokhmah, he had the insight, he had the wisdom to be the posuk of America and to deal with the shilas of America and to do it in a way which would shape the whole American Jewry. Right? And Rav David continued that, but he did it quietly. He did it undercover, nobody knew about it, he never put out svarim. Everything was quiet. Everything was compute humility by Rav David. I want to give you a few examples of shilas that I spoke to Rav David about, which I think bring out a little bit his personality. There was once, I'm a Rosh Kollel, and I once had a Yungaban, an Avreich. He was divorced. He was having a very hard time getting remarried, because he's very quiet young man. So I sent him to a certain from psychologist, who I know was very well held of and respected by the Gedolim. And the psychologist told me something very interesting. He said, you have two options in front of you. He said, you could come to me for 15 years, 10 to 15 years, you know, and every appointment is 400 shekels, you could do the math. That's one option, that's option number one. Option number two is you could do karate for 6 months. Those are two options. 6 months of karate or 15 years of psychology. What do you choose? Any change? Okay. Karate? Okay. That's good. Anyway, so, and he was strongly in favor of the karate. So I said, oh, look, it makes sense. You know, karate makes you more outgoing. It brings out your inner kokos, as it were. So Lamaisa, though, I didn't feel 100% giving him this advice yet. Because, you know, karate does involve apparently some violence, you know, throwing people around and moves. And I felt I needed to speak to an Adam Gadol about it. I was in America, and I went to speak to Rav David. And I asked him the Shaila. And Rav David, he looked at me like very seriously. He said, yeah, it's a problem. It's only mutter if it's pikuach nefesh, right? If it's pikuach nefesh, it's mutter. If it's not pikuach nefesh, it's not mutter. You're not allowed to just throw people around. I don't karate. So most normal people would probably say, okay, pikuach nefesh, forget about it. But like, I am really a hacker. I don't give up. And just because it says pikuach nefesh, like, that doesn't stop me. So I said, Rav David, I said, so what's pikuach nefesh? Yeah, you have to really die? Is that pikuach nefesh? He told me something that changed my entire life. He said like this. He said, no, if he'll be more normal, that's called pikuach nefesh. Yeah? Now, what was Rav David Feinstein saying? He was saying to help somebody live a psychologically, emotionally healthy life, that's pikuach nefesh. I mean, what is nefesh anyway? The nefesh is your feelings and your spirituality, whatever it is. Yeah? That's pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh doesn't mean you have to die. And that's a real posik. A real posik is someone who understands the inner depths of a person. I always give the example. It's a story I really like. My brother told me that the Reformed use it, so excuse me for using the same story as Reformed people use, but I think it's a good story. They said that the Rav, a lady, an almana, came to the Rav with her chicken. You know, it used to be before they had the chickens in the store, you would take your Rav chicken to the Rav and you would pass it on the chicken. So the almana with 10 children, she comes to the Rav with her chicken and she says, is it kosher, not kosher? The Talmidim are all around the Rav and they say, why is he bothering the Rav with the Shaila? There's a Shach and a Taz, Rebbe Kivager. They all say that the chicken is treif. Like, what is she bothering the Rav for? The Rav says, kosher. So the Talmidim said, but what about the Shach and the Taz and Rebbe Kivager? They said, the problem is you're looking at the chicken and I'm looking at the lady. Yeah? Now, I'm not telling you you should look at ladies. That's not what I'm coming to say here tonight. Yeah? What I'm coming to say is that when you're dealing, as a posik deals with another person, you have to see the person for who he is. But that's not just the posik, that's everybody. That is the way a Jew is supposed to act. Yeah? You don't look at a person superficially, this, that, the other. You have to get deep into a person, the shaman, and understand where they're coming from and what they're really all about to really paskin a shaila. And this is what Rav David was saying. Yeah? If it'll be more normal, it's pikuach nefesh. Another time I asked him, I have a Talmud who was the middleweight boxing champion of the world. His name is Yuri Foreman. He was for 6 months, he was the middleweight champion. I taught him Yuridea. He got some, you can imagine, a Rav Shul, he's a professional boxer, people are not going to walk out during Kriyas HaTorah. But Lamaisa, yeah, so Lamaisa, he got a little bit of hack because professional boxing, he held that was like a really good Jewish job. Others disagreed with him, but anyway, I wrote a tshuva about it. I came out that it was right. But I wanted to speak it over with David. And the truth, I spoke over a lot of Talmid Chachamim, and they really, like, laughed at me for even asking such a question. Like, boxing? No, there's no question. How can you not there boxing? Anyway, I went to Rav David, and Rav David has a really interesting, not Rav David, Rav Moshe has a really interesting tshuva. I don't know if you ever heard about it. He has a tshuva about professional football. You know the tshuva? Anyone know about the tshuva? He doesn't write that it's about professional football. He writes about sports. But I did some investigation. It's about playing professional football. Is it mutter or not? And Rav Moshe Paskins, it's mutter to be in professional football. Right, okay, obviously you can't play in Shabbos. There are other problems. But he said, because you're allowed to endanger your life a little bit. For your pranasa, you're allowed to. You see people are Air Force pilots and they do things, mountain climbers. I don't know what people do for money today. President of the United States. All sorts of dangerous jobs. And you're allowed to. So I spoke to her. I went to Rav David and I asked him about it. And I told him, like, oh, sir, Moshe's mater, pressure football, maybe boxing. And he, like, really looked at me, like, really serious. He said, you know, I really hear what you're saying, but I think it's more dangerous to box than, you know, you get smacked in the head. You know, most of them get brain damaged. So, but Lamaisa, what impressed me was that he didn't get into the emotional, this, boxing, not boxing, that's not the question. He just looked at the Shiloh, what it was, and he passed on the Shiloh, and to treat the person with covet of brios. Yeah? Every person has to be treated with the greatest covet of brios. And in the words of my friend who learns with him, Rav David had atzilus. Atzilus means princeliness, kingship. Chazal tells us, man malchi tamun yichachamim. Yeah? When you saw Rav David, you saw malchus. You saw what kavod and what kingship is really all about. You know? Kavod, the word kavod comes from the word kaved, is that you take something ruchni and you make it, bring it down to this world. And when you saw Rav David, you really felt kavod atira. And it was like really interesting, because you're there on the Lower East Side and you see like these really interesting people all around. You know, you walk in the door. And then you meet Rav David, it's such a contrast. You know? It's such a contrast, the difference. In fact, Chazal say, right, that if you see a melech, you're seeing a king of the of the Umas Olam that you should go make a bracha, because it'll help you understand the difference between Malchus of the non-Jews and Malchus of the Jews, you know? And I don't have to say too much. Dai l'chomim b'ramiza. We just had elections in America. I'm not going to say anything about it, but you could all figure out what I'm going to say, so I won't say it. But l'maisa, the difference between the Malchus of Klal Yisrael and the Malchus of Umas Olam is Shemayim V'aretz. Is Shemayim V'aretz. And that's really one of the major, major milas of a relationship with a gadol. Because it gives you shifas for what a person should really be. I was very close for 18 years with Rav Shlomo Brev de Zatzal. And I heard an amazing thing from his doctor. He said, you know, in medical school, we learned what a homo sapien is. But I never met a person until I met the rabbi. Right? This is what a non-Jewish doctor said. And you really want to know what a person is, you see a gadol. Because the gadol has spent his whole life developing his personality and the Torah in his personality and infusing the Torah into his personality. And that's really an Adam gadol, what a really Adam gadol is. And if you get a relationship with Adam gadol, that's like the most amazing thing in the world. You'll be a totally different person. I want to finish off with one more incident with Rav David. And again, I'm just scratching the surface. I could speak hours and hours, but I wasn't zeiche to have such a close relationship with him. But this was a story that really moved me. When I was first starting in halacha, a woman called me up with a certain shaila, and I wasn't really sure. It was a very complicated shaila. I was pointed to a certain other posik, and the posik went l'chumra. L'maisa, when the psak got back to the woman, she was so upset she almost committed suicide. Yeah, and l'maisa, afterwards I got in touch with Rav David, and Rav David told me, he said, we're living in a very, very weak generation, you have to know. You cannot issue a psak like that without, you know, really, really checking it 100 times. We're in a really weak generation. You have to know people, you have to understand people, and you have to appreciate people, you know. And sometimes we might have relationships with our friends, with our chavrusas, with our siblings, even with our parents, and you know, we might say something and we might totally destroy them. Yeah? A gadol is somebody, before he opens his mouth, it's been through 10 different filters. Yeah? And he's thought about it. And they say, when the Rosh says, Nir Ali, that's what the Torah says. This is how the Torah is telling you to speak. And that's something which is really, Chazal teaches us that from a gadol you can learn not just Torah, but you learn in Yani De Alma, how to act, how to behave, how to smile, how to speak to people, how to make jokes even. I know I have a close kesher with Rav Israel Orbach, the son of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And I asked him once, a shaila, I said, his father Paskin on the plane, you shouldn't, you should daven sitting down in your seat. You shouldn't make a minion. Because, you know, I remember once I was part of a minion and the stewardess had to get by. So she pushed me from one side to the other, you know, I was in the way. So just, you know, I got pushed. But I asked Rav Israel Orbach, he said, yeah, you should daven with a minion. I said, but it bothered me. He said, tell them it's good for the plane. The plane will fly much better, you know. And every single word that comes out of his mouth, if you get to know Israel Orbach, right? And l'maisa, he's right around the corner. When Corona's not here, every week on Tuesdays, he's there in Ava Shalom, which is 10 minutes away from here by lunchtime. Yeah, many of these gedolim, if you really, really want to get a kesher with them, you can. You just have to be worth it and put the effort in. So, l'maisa, just I'm going to leave off with that thought. Yeah, it was a great loss to Klal Yisrael. We lost Rav David. And it's an older generation. It represents a completely different world. You know, the world has changed so much in the past 20 years. It's easier for me to say that because I've seen it change so quickly, so much. You were born into it. But it's changed so much. And to be a postlik for this generation is really, really a challenge. But when you see the Yidden from 2-3 generations ago, it's really incredible because it was such a different world then. We're living in such a different world today. And the values and what's really important have changed so much. We have to be very, very careful not to be sucked in by what's going on around us and be very, extremely, extremely careful about that. So, again, I wish everybody here the greatest, greatest Hatzlacha and Bracha and Siyat Dishmaya. Right? Rabbi Center is a mamish. You know, he's not here, right? Oh, he's here. Right, then I can only say, but I can tell you I have a close kesher with Rav David Koyen, And Rav David Cohen holds the olamas of him, so he's going to stop me soon, so I don't say